data breaches. It feels like, you know, every other week there's another big headline.
Yeah, another company, another round of, is my data safe?
Exactly. And it's just overwhelming, trying to keep track, feeling like you're drowning in it all. Mm-hmm. But what if you could get the important stuff, the why it matters, without all that noise? That's what we aim for here.
A shortcut through the chaos.
Pretty much. So today we're doing a deep dive into that big data breach at Farmers Insurance.
A really significant one.
And it's more than just Farmers, isn't it? It kind of shows how data you trust with one company can get exposed somewhere else entirely.
That third-party risk, yeah.
We're talking, what, over 1.1 million customer affected? Sensitive info gone?
That's the number.
We're going to unpack the scale, the methods the attackers use, which are pretty sophisticated, especially this weird Salesforce connection.
Very interesting angle, that one.
And crucially, what it all means for you, for organizations, and how to maybe, you know, protect ourselves better. It's not just what happened, but why it matters.
Understanding the blueprint. Let's get into it.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Farmers Insurance. Huge name, right? Serves millions of households across the U.S., and they disclose this, well, pretty staggering data breach.
Yeah, the scale is definitely eye-catching. But like you said, the how is just as fascinating. Exactly 11,111,386 customers impacted.
Wow, that precise.
That precise.
Right.
But critically, this wasn't a direct hit on Farmers' own internal systems.
Right. You mentioned that.
It came through a compromised third-party vendor they were using.
Which immediately highlights a huge challenge today, doesn't it? Your security isn't just about your own walls.
Exactly. It's about your entire supply chain, all those connections. Your weakest link could be anywhere.
And that third-party aspect plays into the timeline, too, I gather.
It does. So the breach itself, the initial intrusion, happened May 29th, 2025.
Okay.
And credit where it's due, the vendor apparently spotted it the very next day, May 30th. Farmers was notified pretty quickly.
A detection then.
Seems so. But then customers didn't hear about it until August 22nd.
Right, that three-month gap. That sounds long.
It sounds long, yeah, but it often reflects the reality of these things. There's a whole complex forensic investigation that needs to happen.
Ah.
Okay. You have to figure out exactly what happened, whose data was actually taken, mm-hmm. confirm the scope, and then prepare all the legally required notifications. It takes time.
So less about slow response, more about thorough investigation.
That's generally the idea, yeah. You need to be accurate.
Okay, so the big question then. What data did they actually get?
Well, the investigation showed they got quite a bit of personal information. Full names.
Okay.
Residential addresses, dates of birth, driver's license numbers.
Oh, wow.
And the last four digits of Social Security numbers.
The last four, okay. But not full financials.
Correct. It's vital to note that, according to the disclosures, complete financial stuff, full credit card numbers, bank accounts, that was not part of this specific breach.
So for someone affected, what does that mixed name, address, DOB, driver's license, partial SSN, what's that actually mean in terms of risk?
Well, even without full bank details, it's still a major privacy headache.
Right.
That combination is incredibly useful for identity theft. Think about opening fraudulent accounts or maybe building a more convincing profile for other scams.
Yeah, they can piece things together.
Exactly. This gives attackers a really solid foundation to work from. It's valuable data on the dark web.
Okay, so the Farmers breach itself, clearly a big deal. But you hinted earlier, and our sources suggest this isn't just a one-off event. There's a Salesforce connection.
That's absolutely right. And this is where it gets really interesting and frankly, quite concerning. This incident appears to be part of a much larger ongoing campaign, a wave of attacks specifically targeting organizations that use Salesforce.
Salesforce, yeah. Like the big CRM platform lots of companies use.
The very same.
Yeah.
Security researchers have linked these attacks to specific threat actor groups. They have these designations like UNC 6040 and UNC 6240. Think of them as calling cards.
Okay, organized groups.
Highly organized. And their method is particularly cunning. They're heavily relying on advanced social engineering.
Social engineering, meaning tricking people.
Precisely. Specifically, something called voice phishing or vishing.
Phishing. So they're calling people. This isn't hackers banging on firewalls.
Not primarily, no. Imagine getting a call. The person on the other end sounds legitimate, maybe like they're from IT support or some trusted partner.
Okay.
Their goal is to trick an employee at the target company into linking a malicious OAuth application to the company's Salesforce system.
OAuth? Like when you let an app access your Google account.
Exactly like that. You grant permissions. But here, the employee is tricked into granting permissions to a malicious application controlled by the attackers.
And once they have that authorized connection,
the game completely changes. The attackers now have what looks like legitimate, authorized access into the Salesforce environment.
So they can bypass normal security alerts?
Often, yes. Because the access looks legitimate. It's not some brute force login attempt. They can navigate around, find sensitive databases, and just download them.
Wow.
And after they've successfully exfiltrated the data, that's when they contact the company. They hit them with extortion demands, pay up, or we release or sell the data.
It's a whole life cycle. Deception, access, theft, extortion.
A well-oiled machine, unfortunately.
Yeah, incredibly insidious. And it really underlines that this isn't just one person. You mentioned groups. Our sources point to coordination.
That's right. What's really fascinating is the apparent division of labor. That's like a criminal enterprise, almost professionalized.
How so?
Well, one group, known as Shiny Hunters, has actually claimed responsibility for the data extraction itself and for handling the extortion side of things.
Okay, the closers.
You could say that. Meanwhile, other groups, like one called Scattered Spider, are allegedly focused on providing the initial access. They're the ones doing the vishing, getting that first foothold.
So specialists working together.
Exactly. It allows them to leverage different skills and probably maintain better operational security for themselves. Compartmentalization.
And these groups, they're not new to the scene, are they? Sources say they've even compared this to other big campaigns.
They have. They've apparently drawn parallels themselves to things like the widespread Snowflake database breaches, which hit a lot of companies. It suggests they learn, they adapt, they refine their playbook.
Constantly evolving tactics.
Always. And it's crucial to understand this isn't just hitting insurance companies like Farmers.
Right.
This campaign, this wave targeting Salesforce users, it's impacted major tech companies, big retail brands, airlines, financial services. It's incredibly diverse.
So it's not about the industry, it's about the platform. If you use Salesforce,
you're potentially on their radar. If Salesforce is critical to how you manage customer data or other key functions, you need to be aware of this specific threat vector.
So back to the Farmers incident. When the vendor discovered the breach, what happened immediately? What were the first steps?
So the vendor acted quickly. They implemented containment measures, basically. Slammed the door shut on the unauthorized access.
It's okay.
And started a forensic analysis to figure out what happened. Farmers, on their side, launched their own full investigation, notified law enforcement.
Standard procedure, hopefully.
Yes. And brought in external cybersecurity experts, which is very common.
Yeah.
They also mentioned reviewing and strengthening their security requirements for vendors.
Learning lessons. Okay. And for the customers affected, what did Farmers do for them?
They rolled out the usual response package for these situations, detailed notifications explaining what happened,
right.
Guidance on steps people could take to protect themselves. They implemented extra monitoring for fraud, set up dedicated customer service lines.
And probably offered credit monitoring.
Typically, yes.
Yeah.
Credit monitoring and identity protection services are standard offerings in these cases to help mitigate potential harm.
Okay. So looking at the bigger picture, this really underscores how sophisticated attackers are getting and how vulnerable these cloud systems can be, especially to social engineering.
It really does. It's a stark reminder that even if your own direct security is pretty solid, these third-party relationships can be an Achilles heel.
That interconnectedness cuts both ways.
Absolutely.
So for individuals listening, maybe someone got that notification from Farmers or they're just worried generally, what should they actually do?
Good question. The advice is fairly consistent. First, monitor your credit reports very closely. Look for any accounts or inquiries you don't recognize.
Okay.
Consider placing a fraud alert on your credit files. You could even go further and implement a credit freeze, which restricts access to your report.
Right, makes it harder for someone to open new accounts.
Exactly. And be extremely wary of phishing emails or calls that might try to leverage this breach.
Follow-on attacks.
Precisely. Remember, like we said, full financial info wasn't taken in this breach. So if someone contacts you asking for your bank details or full credit card number, claiming it's related to the Farmers incident.
Huge red flag.
Massive red flag. It's likely a separate scam trying to capitalize on the news.
Okay, good advice. And what about for organizations? What are the key takeaways, the proactive steps they need to take?
Well, our sources really emphasize several things. Number one has to be comprehensive employee security awareness training.
Training for vishing specifically.
Yes, focusing squarely on recognizing and responding to social engineering, including vishing calls. Your employees are on the front line. They need to be equipped.
Makes sense. What else?
Rigorous security assessments of your third-party vendors. You need to understand their security posture, not just your own.
Due diligence on partners.
Absolutely. And having clear, practiced incident response procedures in place is crucial. Regular communication with partners helps, too, for faster detection and response.
And you mentioned zero trust earlier.
Yeah, the industry is definitely shifting towards a zero trust security model.
Mm.
Basically, don't trust anything implicitly. Verify everything, always. Assume compromise is possible.
It's a different mindset than the old castle and moat approach.
Completely different. It acknowledges that threats can come from anywhere, even inside.
And there are companies that help with this, right? Our sources mentioned Technegian in Southern California as an example.
Right. Companies like that offer services specifically designed for these challenges. Security assessments, tailored employee training, help planning incident response, managing vendor risk.
So resources are out there for businesses.
Definitely. It's about building multiple layers of defense, addressing technology, processes, and people.
And finally, there's the whole legal and regulatory side too, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. A breach of this size triggers a whole cascade of requirements. State and federal notification laws, potential investigation.
Lawsuit.
Potential civil litigation from affected customers, definitely.
Okay.
And the insurance industry is under particular scrutiny from regulators because of the sensitive data they handle.
So the consequences are significant.
Very significant, financially and reputationally.
Wow. What an eye-opening deep dive, really. Looking at the Farmers breach, but seeing it as part of this much larger, sophisticated campaign targeting Salesforce users,
yeah,
it really shows how advanced these cyber criminals are, using social engineering, exploiting those vendor relationships. It's complex.
It is, and I think the key takeaway, really, is that security today isn't just about having strong firewalls anymore.
Oh, yeah.
As this breach shows so clearly, it's increasingly about the human element. It's about the interconnectedness of everything.
Yeah.
A single weak link, whether that's an employee who gets tricked or a vendor partner, can potentially expose millions. The firewall barely mattered here.
So for you listening, the message seems pretty clear. Stay vigilant. Be careful with your personal info. Keep an eye on your accounts. And just generally be aware of these kinds of threats.
Knowledge really is power in this space.
Definitely. So as we wrap up, here's maybe a final thought to leave you with. Something to chew on.
Okay.
In this world where everything's connected, right? Our data is floating around between multiple vendors, cloud providers, partners. How do we even begin to assess, let alone manage, the cumulative trust we're placing in all these different systems?
That's a tough one.
What does data security truly look like in such a complex, interdependent environment? Is it even, fully achievable anymore? Something to think about until our next deep dive.